workshop is Last to Be Lost to Freedom Will Be the Stigma of Being an Addict. And I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Brian N.
Hi, thank you. I'm an addict named Brian.
Hey, Brian.
And thank you to the committee for inviting me out here to share my experience and strength and hope on this topic. And that was, as it was mentioned, probably the last to be lost to freedom will be the stigma of being an addict. And not very many times in our literature does a word probably occur, but it's mentioned here within our symbol as it talks about how it's defined. And this fellowship has brought me to a place in my life that I never thought I'd be at. When I first arrived in this fellowship, scared, frightened, and in despair, y'all offered me hope, right? That I could find a new way to live. And I didn't really quite believe that. I just knew I had to try something different, right? And I had a lot of shame and guilt that came along with my addiction. And when it talks about stigma, what does that mean? Well, by definition, it's a stain or a point of shame, embarrassment, and disgrace. I was all of those things. I had to be explained rather than be introduced. And I don't know if anyone can relate to that, right? But I know that was my experience, right? I was ashamed to come to my very first meeting. You know, I didn't know what kind of judgment I would receive, but I was greeted by a fellowship that was loving and caring, and they welcomed me with open arms. I was wondering how I must have smelled at the time, right? Would anybody point that out, you know? But I received hugs rather than judgment, right? And this process of working the steps has brought me to a point of freedom today that I'm grateful of. And sometimes when I talk about the past, it's like I'm talking about another person, right? The reality that a personality change can occur is evident in my life today. I was so immersed in the drug culture and all that surrounded the drug culture, finding ways and means to get more. My personality was skewed. I couldn't just interact with anybody. You know, I had lost some social graces. And I had lost what, I don't know, some would call dignity. I didn't really know what that was anymore. You know, I was locked and loaded, and nothing really mattered much than finding ways and means to get more. The consequences came, and it was a natural progression of the disease, right? And I didn't really understand that, I didn't understand much about what was going on. I kind of just went around with the wind, wherever the wind blowed. And it blew me to a facility. The state of Texas intervened. It wasn't like a family intervention. In my case, it was the state of Texas that intervened and allowed me to think things over, right? And even being incarcerated, there was a stigma of being an addict, right? You know, other words are associated with that type of behavior that I displayed. Oh, yeah, he's a sucker. He's a dope fiend, right? No, not me. Not me. No. I used, but I was really, you know, I was making a living, right? I wasn't making a living by the very end. At the end of my run, it was all about finding ways to get more from me. It wasn't about making money. It wasn't about making any friends or new associations or any of that. It was just about feeding the disease, right? And killing myself on that installment plan proved to be also a criminal offense. The things that I was doing in order to get more was seen as a criminal offense. So not only did I have, now I have the stigma of being an addict, I have the stigma of being a criminal, right? In the eyes of the state of Texas, I am a felon, right? Unworthy of certain privileges of normal citizens, right? I'm grateful to say that that's been a long time. 10-11-03 is my clean date, And, you know, I had some time before that and experienced a relapse. So I've been around a minute, and I've experienced some change in my life. I've experienced times when I felt rejected or I was afraid to apply for a job because I knew they would look at my record and say, you know what, no, not you. Yeah, you qualify, but there's certain things that disqualify you from, you know, being a part of this organization. So I chose other jobs that would allow me to participate in work activities there. When I was going to get an apartment, that proved a bit of a challenge. You know, I was only eligible to live in other apartments where other criminals were allowed to stay, because that's kind of the way it is, right? You know, I placed myself in a position where it seems that I'm trapped, right? It seems that I'm trapped in this cycle, and this is just always the way it's going to be. I'm going to always be associated with criminals and criminal behavior and everything that goes along with that, right? And that's not the case. You know, it's crazy. Like I mentioned, sometimes it's like I'm talking about another person, right? Someone else's experience, but this is my experience. You know, today I actually am privileged to review people that come and want to work with me, and I have to look at their background and see if they qualify, right? And I identify with those that don't, you know, and I can at least say with some compassion, you know, those they don't meet the qualifications or criteria at this time. You know, it's a hard thing, but time does change things. As long as I continue in this process and work the steps to the best of my ability, I continue to experience this change and this growth and this freedom. I know a lot are familiar with the phrase of, you know, the first thought being wrong. And although sometimes it is, still, it's not always. It's surprising that today, some of my first thoughts are of love and compassion and of goodwill and service. And those things are coming more natural to me today rather than the spiteful, hateful things that would come out of my mouth the first thing right off the top of my head when I was hurting, when I was suffering, when I was sick, right? I'm not suffering from the disease of addiction today, thank God for that. And that's just here right now. Maybe it's because I'm at a convention, right? Surrounded by the love of the fellowship, right? Or maybe it's just I'm in a good place today and I'm grateful for that. Tomorrow might be different, but I'm grateful for the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous because y'all have given me this freedom and this hope, the outlet to identify with other human beings. We are people with the disease of addiction, right? So we can't lose sight of that. Yeah, I'm an addict, but I'm a human being. I'm a person. I had lost that at one point. My falling from humanity and being reduced to the animal level with animal instincts, right? I lived that way for a while, but it's been a while since I've lived that way. And I know I never have to live that way again. And y'all have told me that I never have to use again. And I believe that. I believe that today. And it's a trip, but I get to embrace newcomers that come into the fellowship, and I get to give back what was given to me. And I remember what it was like to be discarded, right? To be ashamed of, right? And I remember what it was like to be welcomed, to be loved and not judged. People didn't ask me, hey man, what you in here for? Right? This ain't jail. We come and go freely. right? They didn't get specific with what or how much I used. They didn't care. They said it didn't matter what or how much I used. They just said, welcome, right? And allowed me to grow into the person that I am today. And I know if not for the grace of this God that I don't truly understand and this fellowship, I wouldn't be here in front of you today sharing that. It is possible. It says probably one of the last to be lost to freedom. And I don't know where anyone else is on that, but as I reflect, I don't feel the way I did about being an addict today as I did then. I see it as an opportunity to help out another person who may be suffering from the same dilemma. I don't see it as a burden, and I don't see it as a source of shame. It's surprising. Surprising how relieved people are when they find out that you found a way, right? That there is a way, that addicts just don't die, right, from the disease of addiction. Many of us do, but we do recover. There is a solution. And one of the things outside of our symbol on a page, in and of itself, it speaks of, we cannot change the nature of the addict or addiction. We can help change the old lie, once an addict, always an addict, by striving to make recovery more available. God, help us remember this difference. And the difference for me is that I know that I can't use successfully. I know that, right? My identification as an addict, it allows me to relate with you and remind me of that fact that I cannot use successfully in any amount, right? That this solution applies for me. It works for me, right? It's allowed me to live in this life that I live today and experience this life to the fullest today. I'm not the same addict as I was when I got here. But I am the same human being, flawed and capable of making mistakes. Y'all love me regardless, right? And you loved me back in that time when I went back out and I said, man, I don't know what the heck I was thinking. But for a moment there, I thought I could control it. And they said, I understand. Keep coming back. Sit down and listen and learn to listen. And so I did. And it's been a minute, but I continue to do that today. And for the rest of this meeting, that's what I'm going to do as I pass this on to Hardy.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name is Hardy. A little bit of housekeeping. I curse, so if that bothers you, leave now. And I'm going to do that until somebody show me a dope house with a no cursing sign. Now, just to quickly identify, let me thank the group for drafting me while I was on my way to the bathroom to do this workshop. But the fellowship has taught me, if it has taught me anything, it's when it's your chance to be of service, you'd better step up. So that's exactly what I'm doing. Let me identify real quickly so that you make sure that you know that you're not in a Tupperware meeting. I'm just like everybody in here. I started partying to feel good. You know, hey man, let's all put in 25 cents and get a 40-ounce Lone Star. And we got this joint from Bubba Ray's brother that's the same size as a shoelace. And it's got one big seed in it, it's gonna stop it. And we're all gonna get fucked up. And we all gonna feel good. Then the script changed. I started getting high to change the way I felt. Damn, the day was a shitty day, I better have one. Damn, the day was a great day, better have one. Then the disease really flipped the script. And then I started using so that I wouldn't feel at all. Now, the trick is, I stopped getting high long before I stopped using. See, that's a good working definition of addiction. I was still going out there getting one. The finding ways and means became more important than getting the damn disease, than getting the drug. Now, let me tell you something about that. That's the reason why when I introduced myself, I said I'm an addict first and my name is Hardy, because my ass was whipped. I don't know about you. I know for a fact that we don't introduce the loser to the Super Bowl first. All right? There's only one sport where they introduce the loser first. That's boxing. Marvin Friebisch, the challenger, will fight Mike Tyson, the champion. You know, and we know what's going to happen. You know, Mike's going to hit him so hard and so frequent, he's going to shit smooth for 2 weeks. All right? That's the only time. So I'm an addict first, and then my name is Hardy. So when I recognize that, I also have to come into recognition as to what God's will is for me. And God's will is made up of three different things. It's right there in the 11th step. Acknowledge his existence. I do that at least twice a day through prayer and meditation. Sometimes more if there's a stupid son of a bitch convention on the freeway. That's where the serenity prayer comes in. The next is do his will. That means I must practice spiritual principles even if I don't want to. And the hard ones, like humility, empathy, and selflessness. Not those little bullshit ones, the hard ones. Okay? And the last part of God's will, and it says right in there, be happy. Because I don't have to go outside of myself anymore to find something to make me happy. And on any given day, I'm as happy as a stripper at a blind bachelor party. They sniffing each other's ass and she counting her money. So, when it comes to the recovery process, I didn't come in here to be sad. IP number 8, all right, just for the day. It says, my thoughts will be on my recovery. That means now I'm thinking in spiritual terms. Living and enjoying life. It didn't say existing and enduring life. That's what we did when we were out there on the streets. Yeah, living in that garbage dumpster. You remember those days, right? So anytime that I have the opportunity to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, I must do so in a way in which is helpful to the addict who is still suffering. And that means that I have to sometimes make that addict laugh at himself, because I don't know anybody who stayed clean in the length of time that had to learn how to laugh at themselves and with others. Think about it. Them sad son of bitches don't make it. See? So now, let's look at why it is this literature says probably the last to be lost to freedom will be the stigma of being an addict. Well, the disease tells me I have a disease of the mind, body, and spirit. Once I start using the physical part, I can't stop. Once I start thinking about it, I can't stop. And the spiritual part is I will do any goddamn thing to keep from stopping. I will violate every moral and value that I have in order to find ways and means to get more. So it's natural that the spiritual part of my addiction is the last one to leave. It's natural. I mean, if I came in here so spiritually fit on the first 30 or 60 or 90 days, have you ever seen anybody have 90 days clean? They're so fucking spiritual, it make you sick. Yeah. And you know they're doing some creepy shit outside the rooms. Yeah. I did. Did I say that out loud? It's a cool thing about being old. You can say anything you want as long as you ended up with. Did I say that out loud? I'm going to take you to IP number 19, self-acceptance. The lack of, I had to make this bigger because I'm fucking old, I can't see nothing. I had to give up my hobby of Tom Peepertree. The lack of self-acceptance is a problem for many recovering addicts. The subtle defect is difficult to identify and often goes unrecognized. Many of us believe that using drugs was our only problem, denying the fact that our lives had become unmanageable. Even after we stopped using, the denial can continue to plague us. Many of the problems we experience in ongoing recovery stem from an inability to accept ourselves on a deep level. You ever been so mad at somebody you want to kill them? I got to tell you, man, I've shot 4 people. That's one of my character defects that I have to deal with. But the real character defect is that, not that I shot people, because the real character defect is I like shooting people. If I don't face that, if I'm not truthful about that, I can do it again. I haven't shot anybody since 1983, and goddamn, I miss it. Just who I am. All right. So now, if I don't acknowledge the fact that I lack self-acceptance, when I want to kill somebody, what I'm really angry about is the fact that I allowed myself to be treated that way. See? You know, you knew that woman wasn't no good. You took her from somebody else. Now somebody take her from you and you swole. Come on, man. All right. Here's a cool one now. The 12 steps are the solution. Today, the first step towards self-acceptance is accepting our addiction. Hey. We must accept our disease and all the trouble that it brings us before we can accept ourselves as human beings. See, because the disease is so cunning and baffling until the disease convinced me that I wasn't human. The disease started off convincing me that I was godlike. See? I can do any damn thing I want. And near the end, I'm the same one that them youngsters are selling sheetrock to. Huh? Wax too, yeah, somebody said wax. I could sold me some turtle shit one night. The next thing we need to help us towards self-acceptance is belief in a power greater than ourselves who can restore us to sanity. Hey, where did that come from? The second step. We have to admit the insanity. We have to admit the insanity that the disease of addiction brought us, not the using of drugs. The disease brought us. The using of drugs doesn't bring us to insanity. The disease to go find ways and means to get drugs. You know, if the dope whooped my ass, I need to find out what took me to the ass whipping and where is it now. See? I have to be extremely cautious about that. Well, it's the hell being old, you lose your space and shit. But we do need to believe in a concept that works for us. A spiritual understanding of self-acceptance is knowing that it is all right to find ourselves in, God damn, Hardy, you should know this by heart. To find ourselves in pain and to have made mistakes and to know that we are not perfect. When I was growing up, my grandmother raised me. I grew up over in Orange. My mother was over here in Houston. She was the nurse on the kidney transplant team. My mother never drank or smoked, but she had all the characteristics of an addict. Nothing was her fault, and everything was imperfect until she touched it. Now, all my life, when I'd have to come over here and spend the summer with my mother, I was imperfect. I couldn't do anything right. I was a failure. See? It was, okay, so you did go to college at 14. You're still a dummy. Okay? So you did do this. You know, you signed that professional contract to play football. Well, you're an athlete, and you should be educated, so don't get away from me. You know? It was all about never being good enough. And the disease took that and ran with it. It ran with it by running to one extreme. I'm going to show everybody I'm good enough, God damn it. To, damn, I'm not good enough. I'm sitting here in this alley with Poochie, Ray Ray, and Squatlow. Mm. Okay, the most effective means of achieving self-acceptance is through applying the 12 steps. All right, now, you notice it said the 12 steps are the solution. Please do not make the mistake that I made when I first came into the rooms, 62491. I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for the wrong reasons. I was looking for an answer. All right? I was looking for a definitive way to stop using drugs. That's an answer. All right? An answer is finite. One and one is two. All right? Always will be, except some of you binary motherfuckers, y'all gonna say one and one is 10. All right? One and one is two. You know, when the judge told me I'm gonna give you one goddamn year for indecent exposure, and 1 year for soliciting that nun, which never gave me my $20 back, and I'm running them concurrently, and you ex-cons know concurrently means stacked, I said, Judge, how long do I gotta serve? He said, 2 years, asshole. So that's 2 years I gotta worry about making commissary and avoiding buttfuckery. All right? Answers are finite. There are no answers in Narcotics Anonymous. There are solutions.
Yeah.
All right? Here's the difference in a solution. There are two things that are characteristic of a solution. One is they require a change in thought and behavior. That sounds familiar. Sounds like the third step, huh? You know? Made a decision to turn my will, my thoughts, and my life, my behavior, over to the care of the God of my understanding. All right? And the second thing about solutions is that all solutions are spiritual in nature. Because in order for me to change, I have to change the way I treat you. So in order for me to stay into the solution, I must be willing to put myself in a vulnerable position to be of service and not expect anything in return. I'm very fortunate that I have sponsees that I am of service to. They don't give me shit back. They don't give me a goddamn thing. Every now and then, one of them will call me up and say, hey, you still sponsoring me? How is Pumphrey Jr.? Oh, he's graduating high school now. What? Remember when we did your second step? He was just born. I'm being facetious. But I can set myself up by expecting something. Okay? So, it is natural for the last thing for an addict to give up is that view that an addict is an addict and that it is shameful. Let me tell you something. That's all right, because you ever heard this word, this phrase, it's all a process? Yeah. All right? And damn it, it's a process. Let the process work. Let the process go on and allow us to become productive and responsible members of society, starting with ourselves. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being okay with you? Now, when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I loved me, right? I sang the Pimp's National Anthem. I love me some me. You know, I had one woman on the street. She had one leg and a cock eye. And she kept bringing me back change. I couldn't figure that shit out. No, I'm joking. I don't disrespect women like that, okay? But I loved me some me because I didn't understand what love was. See, love is a spiritual experience. The opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. You remember that little girl in the third grade? All right, you loved her, and she didn't even know you existed? That hurt like a son of a bitch, didn't it? The opposite of hate is like. Like means I accept your behavior. I accept my behavior. I hate my behavior or hate your behavior when I don't accept it. So what's wrong with accepting myself today? What's wrong with liking myself? And my first sponsor, I remember I told that, all right, I got clean in North Adams, Massachusetts, and this guy, little short bastard, looked like Adolph Monju, wore a trench coat, a tam, some dark horn-rimmed glasses with yellow lens and a cigarette holder, about that long. And his name, he told me his name was the Magic Dick. Right, I'm gonna kill this somebody. I said, what? He said, yeah, the Magic Dick. He says, hey, when I show you how the steps answer all of life's questions except one, where to get more dope, you think I'm using magic. And when I get you on the steps, then you know why they call me Dick. Yes, sir, your dickmanshipness, sir. But this guy told me, I said one day, man, I'm sure glad you're my friend. He says, I'm not your friend, arsehole. He called me arsehole because they don't say asshole in New England. I'm not your friend, arsehole. He says, I'm not your friend because you're not your own friend. You're going to have to go all the way through the 11th step before you become your own friend. You're going to have to regain a constant relationship with the God of your understanding before you can be friends with yourself. Yeah. Damn. First 90 days I stayed clean. And this is the honest to goodness truth. The only reason why I stayed clean the first 90 days was I was going to kill him and I was going to figure out where to plant the body. Next thing you know, I got 90 days clean, and I realized what the hell he's saying. It is normal for an addict to down himself because the disease talks to us in a familiar voice, our own. My disease sounds just like me. I tell newcomers long, you know, and say, hey, man, you know, can you make some suggestion to make this process go a little smoother? Yeah. A, make up your goddamn bed every day because that starts the day off you a winner. You got the disease on its ass. It's going to get back up, but at least you start the day off winning. You know? And the next thing is whenever you have a good idea, ask yourself, who said that? Because an addict with a good idea is a terrorist. And he'll blow himself up and you too. It is not important when we begin to think of ourselves as recovering addict. It is important that we do. And even if it takes a concerted effort, in other words, forcing ourselves, acting our way into good thinking, then I suggest we do it. It's getting past my nap time, so I'm going to wind it down. The only thing I could say is for those of you that are new or in doubt, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is there's a solution for your dilemma. The bad news is we're it. I'm an addict. My name is Hardy. Thanks for letting me share.